And thank you for being with us this morning. If you would stand, we'll continue with our song service. John 11:23 says, Jesus saith unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. It's good to be in the Lord's house today. Happy Father's Day to everyone that's father here today. We're glad that you decided to be with us. Brother Ethan, would you open us in a word of prayer, please?
Amen. Join me in singing number 36, Christ Arose. Come on. in singing one more time as we all stand together. 160, crown him with many crowns. 160 if you need it. Crown him with many crowns.
Crown him with many.
See you.
7, 'tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word.
But feel that I am Aren't you glad he loves you like you are his only child? Amen. Man, it's pretty awesome when you think about it. Amen. So today's Father's Day, and I'd like to acknowledge the fathers that we have here. So if you guys wouldn't mind coming forward, if you're a dad, we have a gift we'd like to acknowledge you. And so if you would come on front, don't be shy, don't be bashful. Come on down. You have many places you could go and be today. We're glad that you chose to be with us and to be here. And we are honored to have a great group of guys. For the most part, they're pretty good looking guys. I'm teasing. What are you doing? Oh, okay, you're my helper. Wait a minute. There's something I should know? Not at all. Good. Good. Let's keep it that way for a long time, okay? Whew. Your mom. You have seen your mom. I may have to bring her back to life. I don't know. You got all this? I'll take these. How's that? All right. So we have a gift that we'd... Boy, this pile's really something. We have a gift that we'd like to give each one of these dads. And so I'm going to start over here. You can follow me this way. Yeah. Sir, you're welcome. Yes, sir. Awesome. Thank you, sir. Brother George.
Good job.
He's doing right. Thank you. Thank you very much. Amen. I like books. I hope our men like books because I've given them books for a long time. This one's entitled Strengthen Your Hands and How Godly Leaders Remain Strong in the Work of the Lord. We do have some left over, so I'd like for all men to have one before you leave today. They're down here in this box, and I'd like for you to have one of those. I'd like to have a word of prayer for our men today, and again, we are honored that you chose to be with us. Lord, we love you, and we thank you for your many blessings to us. We thank you for each one of these men, the homes and the children that they represent. Some are just now in that phase of raising kids, and I can remember the stress that I felt many times raising my children, wishing that I had all the answers, realizing I didn't have as many answers as I thought I did. Lord, I pray that you'd be with those men, that you would help them to seek your face. I pray that they would grow through your word, that they might be the dads that you'd want them to be, and that they would raise their children to love you. I pray for those dads that are at that point, they're teenagers or leaving the house and decisions are being made, and soon they might be empty nesters. Lord, I pray that you would bless them and give them that peace and that confidence that comes by walking with you, and Lord, you'd bless and lead in their lives. And then men that are empty nesters, the kids have been raised, they've gone forth. And I used to think that at this phase, much of my dad was done, my dad learning and so forth. But I've realized through the years, Lord, that it's really just takes a different level. And so, Lord, I pray that you'd be with these men, help them to be able to communicate well with their adult children, to be influences when needed, and, Lord, just steadfast in their love for you. We thank you for the men you've given us in our church, and I pray to God that you'd bless each one of them, give them a great day today, and just lead and guide in their lives. Might they continue to seek to walk with you. And we ask these things in your name. Amen. And then I thought it'd be really cool, because I'd never get most of these guys up here any other way, that we have a special from these guys. Would that be cool? And so, Brother Charles, you step right over here, and Brother Aaron's going to go right there. And we're going to sing a very simple song, What a Day That Will Be. And you just sing right out, guys, okay? I'm going to stand right here by you. There's coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. There'll be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no pain, no more parting over there. And forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. Man, thank you guys so much for being good sport. Thank you. Well, praise the Lord. It is good to be in the Lord's house today, and I would invite your attention to Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2. And I've entitled my message today, Learning from the Wisest Man. And so I remember back in my life, there's been key times where I needed some wisdom and some insight. And I always, when I'm looking for information in a certain area, usually I seek out people who can give me wisdom in that area. You know, like if I'm going to build a house, I don't go consult with a painter, okay? If I need to put a roof on, I'm not going to go talk to a carpet layer, okay? If I'm going to work on my car, a lot of times I consult YouTube. But, you know, I consult people who have done or are doing the things that I want to learn about. And so here today, we're going to learn from the wisest man in the world. Now, that's pretty cool, you know. That's pretty awesome when we think about it. And you say, preacher, well, how is it that we're going to learn from that wise man? Well, the book of Proverbs is written by Solomon, who was believed and proved that he was the wisest of all men ever to live. He was very, very wise. And so here in Proverbs chapter 2, we're going to begin reading verse number 1. There we read, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find knowledge. And so Solomon is instructing his sons at this time and telling them, look, if you will pay attention, if you want to find, if you want to know things, they can be learned. And I just thought, man, what would it have been like to have had Solomon for your dad? You know, he's the smartest guy in the world. You can only imagine if you were doing algebra, you could go to dad and say, hey, dad, I'm having problems with this exponent. I don't understand how this works. And he'd go, well, it goes like this, this, and this. And you go, oh, why didn't I see that? And whatever question you have, you just go to Solomon, who would always have the answer. So you would have like the best dad when it came to homework, right? And maybe he'd get tired of you asking questions and just fill it all in. That would be even better, right? And so I can only imagine what it must have been like to be a son to Solomon. And, you know, on the other side of that, it must have got really bad hearing how bad, you know, your thinking was. Because he was the smartest man. And you go, why did you think that way? You know, Solomon could give that lecture to Rehoboam. Hey, why did you think that way? Look, I taught you this, I taught you that. Why did you think that way? And so it had to be pretty cool to have learned from the wisest of all men that ever lived. But in reality, we can learn from the one who taught Solomon. That's pretty cool. That's like going to the top of the list. We can learn from the smartest, the one who taught Solomon, the one who knows everything, the one who'll never forget. Isn't it sad as we watch people get older time and again, as they begin to get older, they will begin to come to a point many times, not all of them, but some of them, will come to a point that they begin to forget. I can remember I just buried Brother Brewer a week ago, and I loved the preacher, but I remember one of the last trips I took him to Wichita, and we were driving down the road, and he talked about the same subject within 5 minutes for like an hour and a half. You know, so he would finish the subject, then he'd start again. Oh, look at those cows. Boy, there's a lot of black cows out there. Boy, look at them. Eat that grass. I'm no kidding. And he would talk about cows, and then it'd be like he'd be done for a minute, and then he'd say, oh, look at those cows. Come on, if you've dealt with old people, you ought to be shaking your head, because at some point you've probably dealt with someone who's starting to fail with dementia or Alzheimer's. It's a horrible place to be. It's a horrible place to be. And I may repeat myself a lot, and I don't mean to because I'm really young, okay? Let's clear that off. But as we get to be older and around older people, that can happen many times. And so we just need to know that the Lord God, he never loses his wisdom. Amen. And what's really cool about the Lord God is his wisdom is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's always been the smartest. His wisdom has always applied. So just yesterday, I had lunch with a friend of mine, and I had recommended, matter of fact, I had bought him a book that really had been a blessing in my life and had given it to him. And he told me about how that over the last several weeks, they began to read this book, he and his wife. And he said, we'd be reading along, and all of a sudden I'd say, honey, you need to read that again to us out loud. Read that again. And I said, you know, that's the great thing about this writer. He lived during the 30s, but his message, those things that he wrote about, is as relevant today as at any point in life. But when it comes to God, he is always relevant. He's always spot on. Now, you know, we as men, and we can come to the point where we say, you know, that Bible stuff's old, it's archaic, it's tired. But the truth of the matter is, if you'll let it really seep into your soul, you'll find out that it's truth that's long-lasting, that's been from the beginning of time and settled throughout time. And man may differ on his thinking, but God's word is always true and always right. And so I would like for us, as we start this message today, to be reminded of Proverbs chapter 1 and verse number 7. There we read, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools, if you underline your Bible, it's probably a good place to underline, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So the Lord, capital L-O-R-D, so it's Lord God Jehovah, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. If I want knowledge, if I want wisdom, it all begins with a proper relationship to who God is. He is God of all gods. He's God Jehovah. He is the ultimate God of wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. So if I'm hearing from the wisdom of God, I shouldn't mess with it. I shouldn't balk at it. I shouldn't run from it. Listen, we're talking about the Lord God, the wisest of all, who's given wisdom to all mankind. And his is the saying, to fear the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. If I want to have knowledge, if I want to have wisdom, if I want to know how to respond to a situation or what to do, then I ought to look to the Lord, because he has all wisdom. So the first thing we see from Proverbs chapter 2 is the word receive. In verse number 1, I've just picked one word out of each one of these verses to apply today. And it's not going to be a long application, but there is application to each one of these words. The first one is receive. Here he is, the smartest dad ever, telling his son, will you receive my words? He says, if thou shalt receive my words, if you will hear them, if you will take them. You know, most sons respect their father's wisdom. But let me give you this also. I can remember coming to the point in my life where I realized, you know, growing up as a teenager, I began to feel like my dad's out of touch. He doesn't understand me. He doesn't understand the life that I'm living right now, because, you know, he's old. He's old. He's got gray hair. He's ancient. And, of course, I used to think I wanted to die before I was 40 because I didn't want to live to be old. So look, God's honest truth, you know. I didn't want to live to be old. And now I realize, man, I'd been dead a long time if I would have chose to die at 40. But I used to think, I really did, oh, the establishment and those thinkers and my dad, he's so out of touch with life. And then I got married because I knew everything. Who in the world let her and I get married 41 years ago? I don't know. She looked like a little baby. I shouldn't even been dating her. I felt like, you know, I could have been arrested maybe. And they let us get married. It was something. And, you know, we got married, and I knew everything. And then we had kids. And Brother James, I thought I knew everything. And then there was that transition. I can't really put my finger on it when it happened. Maybe 81, 82. And all of a sudden, I realized, my dad's pretty smart. No, he's really smart. Now, when I've got to make a major decision, I'm going to call my dad, because my dad's the smartest man I know. Anybody else ever cross that line? I remember just like night and day, my dad's the smartest guy. Here I used to think I knew. I thought I had it all. So young guys, if you think your dad's out of touch, why don't you just save yourself a lot of heartache and go, my dad's, he's the smartest guy around. He's lived a lot longer than I've lived. The worst thing that can happen in a teenager and maybe an early 20 is to believe your peers to be the smart group to gain wisdom from. Because they're in the same boat you're in, okay? They're still trying to figure it out themselves. Look to the older. Look to the gray hair. The gray hair is a sign of wisdom. It's a sign that they've probably done a lot of dumb stuff you shouldn't have done, you know. They've lived through a lot, and seek them out and desire to know. And he says here, so if a son will respect their father's wisdom, then they're going to grow. They're going to have knowledge. But the foolish will despise their father's instruction. Matter of fact, if you don't think so, I'd encourage you just to do a word search of that word foolish. Like Psalm 73:22 says, so foolish was I and ignorant. I was a beast before them. Proverbs 9:6, forsake the foolish and live, and go in the way of understanding. Ladies, Proverbs 9:13, a foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple and knoweth nothing. Proverbs 10:1, the Proverbs of Solomon, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. I was just visiting with Ralph this morning, and I said, isn't it amazing? I asked him how Daniel was doing. He said, well, he texts his mom 2 or 3 times a week. I said, isn't it amazing? There came a point when my boys got to the point that they were getting ready to graduate high school. It kind of rocked all the way through. So like when the boys were real little, it was mommy, mommy, mommy. They wanted to marry mommy. They wanted to marry someone like mommy. Then they became teenagers, and it was like, Dad, you know, I don't understand where I'm at, what I'm going through. Can you help me here? And so Dad played an important part. At least it happened in my family that way. I played an important part in my son's life. And then they got married, and it's like, hey, I married one of those, like, mom, and she's going to surely understand her better than you, Dad. Sorry, Dad. You're on the burner. Now it's mom, and it's mom, and it's mom, and it's mom, and it's mom. And it'll probably be mom until, you know, she would die or they would die. It's just kind of the way the roles reverse as we go through life. So when I read through Proverbs, I read many times about the son, the wise son. He makes a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. It's always the worst to the mother. So the foolish son, the bad son, the son that wouldn't listen to dad and mom and the things that they're trying to instruct them in and help them with, when they mess up, it really falls hard on mom. And I can testify to that. That's the way it's happened in our life over and over. I'm like, dumb kid, I told him what he needed to know. He didn't accept it. He deserves what he gets. Mom's over here threatened over through the whole thing. Oh, I hope he comes. I hope this. And I'm praying about this, and I'm praying about that. And I'm like, he's getting what he deserves. You know, he just, you know. At least that's the way it happens with us. Maybe not you. But I kind of feel like that's maybe what happens according to the scripture even here. A foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. Wise men lay up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. Proverbs 10:14. Proverbs 14:1. Every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. Proverbs 14:7. Go from the presence of a foolish man when thou perceivest not him in the lips of knowledge. So when he's not talking smart, when he's talking stupid stuff, you need new friends. Okay, just that simple. You say, well, they're my best friends from life. If they're talking dumb stuff, you need new friends. Proverbs 15:20, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son despiseth his mother. Listen, don't ever despise your mom. If you do, you're being dumb. You're being a foolish son, foolish daughter. You ought to love your mom. She bore you into this earth. And your father provided for you. You ought to love and care for your parents. And so we see the importance of it. And then the latter part of this verse here says, and hide my commandments with thee. So the instruction Solomon's giving his son, he said, look, you need to receive it, and then you need to hide it. You need to store it up. You need to keep it safe. Don't let it fail. It's the most valuable thing in the world that I'm giving you is this word, this instruction. Matter of fact, Psalms 119:11 says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. The most valuable thing you can hide in your heart is the word of God. It's, you know, I met those guys and they're like the walking, what's that book that has all the highs and the records and all that? Thank you. Guinness Book of World. That's why I keep him right here on the front row, because he's smart and he gives me the Guinness Book of World Records. I met those guys. And they tell you batting averages and yardages thrown and, you know, the most yards ran and all that kind of stuff. And to be quite honest, I'm not that guy. And it kind of gets boring to me after a while, unless it's one of my favorite players. And then I kind of know about them. But, you know, overall, they go, yeah, you know, on record in 1913, the White Sox won the World Series. I'm like, I wasn't alive. I really don't care. If I wasn't there, I didn't experience it, I'm not interested. But anyhow, and so we've got to be careful that we're storing the right thing in our life. It's okay if you want to be the walking Guinness Book of World Records guy. But you need to hide that much more of the Word of God in your life, because that's where real wisdom comes from. Hiding the Word of God in your life, having that Word of God when it's so important and so needful. The second thing we see is that we ought to incline our ear. So that thou incline, verse 2, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding. So incline thine ear to give ear, to listen, to hear the word of wisdom. To allow it to come in, to allow it to be a part of our life, and then we need to apply our heart to understanding. That means we ought to give our heart to understanding. I want to understand the Word of God. Listen, the Word of God does not come easy once you get past the milk of the Word of God. We know for as we study the book of 1 Peter that it tells us, Peter's writing, and he says, I would have fed you with meat, but instead I'm feeding you with milk because you refuse to grow, basically, is the wording of that portion of Scripture. They refuse to grow. They refuse to take the Word of God and learn the Word of God and apply the Word of God. And listen, some of the Word of God is only understood by meditation, by us studying it out and comparing it with other verses. It takes work if we're going to know the Word of God. And then we need to incline ourselves to it, and we need to hide it away in our heart that we might grow thereby. The third thing we see is the words Christ after. Verse 3, yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and liftest up the voice of understanding. To cry after knowledge. You know, newborn babes, they're kind of amazing how they grow. I still remember bringing ours home and I, you know, holding them and looking at them. And I told my wife, I said, when do they do something? She goes, in a little bit, they'll do something. Wah! Wah! I got so tired of hearing, wah! Wah! What do they want? They want food. They wanted milk. They desired milk. That's what he wants us to do when it comes to the Word of God. We ought to desire the Word of God. It ought to be important to us. As babies needed the sincere milk of the Word of God, so we as Christians need the sincere milk of the Word of God. You say, I'm too busy to read my Bible. I'm too busy to study of the Word of God. Then you're too busy. You're too busy. We need to learn to make time for God. He needs to be the number one in our life. Listen, here's the big problem, okay? Today in 2020, the biggest problem in the world, we could say, is that people think that this is it. They think this is it. I'm living my life now. But this life is the most important life I'll ever live. You know that this is just the precursor to real living. Okay? The Bible tells us the best that's promised is like 70 years. The best. Now, I just buried Mrs. Parrott on Thursday, 98 years old. Check this out. 19 grandchildren, 19 great-grandchildren. Woo! 19 great-grandchildren. Man, what a blessing. I just hope she didn't have to buy Christmas for each one of them. That'd bankrupt you, you know? But what a blessing. What a life. Here she had these 19 grandchildren, 19 great-grandchildren. Her love for God was second to none, how much she loved the Lord, and she drew close to the Lord, and she knew the Lord. And from the moment she got saved, she desired to know Him more. She desired to possess Him, to allow Him into her life. And she read her Bible, and she studied the Word of God. And she's one of those ladies that you'd walk up to, and you might have a spiritual question. You asked her, and she would say, well, you know, the Bible would say, or she might go, I heard this sermon that said, and she was just a great godly lady who loved the Lord and loved the things of God. And so we need to love the Lord. We need to Christ after knowledge. We need to lift up the voice of understanding that we might grow thereby. And then the next word is seekest. Seekest, verse number 4. If thou seekest for her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures. You know, we think about the Word of God, and in the day and age in which we live, we think about seeking money. I like to watch Gold Rush. I just kind of get addicted to those shows. You know, that Snovel kid has become a multimillionaire while I've watched him on TV. I'm like, I could have been doing that if I'd just gone to the Klondike, got me, you know, the gold claim, and I could have been rich just like him. But see, most people are content just to sit on their couch and watch it. Because I didn't have a grandpa who owned a gold claim up there and all the machinery to get started. And I'm not moving to the Klondike anytime soon to go panning for gold or anything like that. But there were people who gave their lives in the early years and even today to hunt treasure. Matter of fact, it's interesting they use the word silver. You know, most people don't get real excited about silver, but I could get excited about silver. It's about $25.93 an ounce as of yesterday. So it's worth your time, right? If you could find a couple of thousand ounces a day of silver, it wouldn't take long to become a millionaire at that kind of return. But he realized that out in the deserts of California, many men lost their lives through starvation and lack of water seeking for silver. There was a big rush to go and to seek silver. Matter of fact, as the stories go, they came up, they were willing to give whatever, pay whatever price, even starve to death. And therefore, we have the name Death Valley because men sought silver. And they threw all cares to the wind, all options to the wind. They went to Death Valley and they gave their lives. So many died there, they named it Death Valley, wanting to get rich. They were willing to make whatever sacrifices. And the Bible says that we're to search the Word of God like for a hidden treasure. Look what I found in my Bible, a treasure map. Now, it didn't come in it, okay? I'll print you one. You can put it in your Bible. But you could put it on just about any page in the Bible. And there's good things for us to have. But we've got to open it. We've got to read it. We ought to study it. We ought to think on it. We ought to meditate on it. But I'm afraid what happens the majority of the time in Christian's life is that's what the Bible does. It's a decoration piece. It sets to the side. It's life's busy. I'm raising kids. I got to feed my husband. I've got to provide for my wife. I don't have time to read the Bible. Then you're too busy, because this is the precursor to true living, which happens when we die, because we're going to live for all of eternity. Don't pour everything into here without preparation for there. Oh, by the way, this is just a good place to stop and talk about it. There's one of two places to go to for all of eternity. Heaven, which if we ask Jesus Christ to be our Lord and Savior, to forgive us our sins, to come into our heart and to cleanse us, heaven will be our eternal home. The other option is the lake of fire, where it was actually built for the devil and his demons, those very, very wicked people. The Bible says that the small and dead will stand before God. They'll be judged out of the books whether or not they've accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior. If they've never accepted him as Lord and Savior, I'm not talking about going to church or being baptized or being a good person or being rich or what social strata you might live in or the color of your skin. When you stand before God, there's no racism, there's no social class, there's none of that before God. God will just simply look for the fact, did you accept Jesus or did you reject him? And if you've accepted him, heaven will be your eternal home. And if you rejected him, the lake of fire will be your final destiny forever. The Bible says the worm dieth not. It'll be in torment and torture forever. It dieth not. One of two places, heaven or hell. The choice is ours. The fifth thing we see is verse number 5, understand and find. Understand and find. Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. We're not talking about light reading. We're not talking about, oh, by the way, we got these new devotionals in the back track rack. Please feel free to get as many as you'll use back there. We get these to help you to have a daily time with God. But hopefully this is like a springboard. If this is all you get from God, a little bitty page and about 5 minutes of time, this isn't enough to grow. This is a springboard to get you thinking, to maybe get you looking. Listen, it's going to take some time in the Word of God. Hopefully you've set aside and you said, you know what? I'm going to give about 30 minutes to my Bible every day. If you don't have 30, you ought to at least give 15. And so I'm going to take 15 minutes every day, and I'm going to read my Bible. And if you're your first stab at reading your Bible, I'd encourage you, start in the New Testament, like in the book of John. Don't start in Leviticus. Not even I look forward to reading Leviticus, okay? I'll do it because it's there, but it's not my favorite. You know, if I'm going Old Testament, there's Psalms. I love the book of Psalms. There's Proverbs, something to learn from. I like the Samuels, and I like the Kings and those, but Leviticus, I don't, it's not me. But anyhow, we need to be reading the Word of God. We need to be mining those precious nuggets. We need to be looking for the truth that's there. And you might say, well, I've done that, preacher. I went through the Bible. But you know what? This isn't the Reader's Digest. This isn't the bestseller that you pick up, you know, a Tom Clancy novel. This isn't it. This book's alive. Amen. You say, well, how do you explain that? I don't know how many times I am going through this time. Maybe I've been through it 15, 20 times. And every time I find something new. Every time. Almost every day, at least once a week, I find something new. And a lot of times, I'll just be honest, is maybe I forgot it. Or maybe I was so distracted thinking on some other portion of the Scripture that I missed that portion of Scripture. But this book's alive. It's alive. It's good for us to read and study the Word of God. It's good for us to know these things. You say, preacher, what time do you think I quit reading my Bible? How about the day you die? Ought to read it every day. It ought to be a part of your life. It ought to be a part of your living. The reading of the Word of God is so vitally important in all that we do, Christian friend. We need to read it. We need to pray. God, help me understand it. Help me to apply it to my life, that I might walk in wisdom, that I might know what you have for me, that I might be able to raise my family for your honor and glory. And so I think about these verses. Proverbs 2:9 says, then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. Here in this own, in what we've read today, Proverbs 2:2 and 2:3, and thou shalt incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding. And then Proverbs 2:11 says, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee. We need the Word of God in our life. If we're going to be successful in walking with God, if you're going to be successful, Dad, in raising your children for the Lord, Grandpa, if you're going to be successful in training up your grandchildren or your great-grandchildren, you need the Bible. You need the Bible. It's relevant. It's helpful. It's necessary. It's needful. We need the Word of God. Where do you get that? Well, the smartest man ever to live told his sons, and I want to be a smart man. I'm not the smartest. I make my share of mistakes. But I'm smart enough to know if the smartest man said it was important, it's important. I want to do it. Lord, we love you and we thank you for this time together today. We pray to God that you would take this invitation, use it for your honor and your glory. Could be that there's some here that have never accepted you as their Lord and Savior. And if they were to die right now, they don't know heaven to be their eternal home. Lord, love to take a Bible and share with them from the Word of God how they can know that they're saved on their way to heaven. Lord, I pray for Christians today. I pray to God that it would be our desire to be in the Word, to grow from the Word, to learn from the Word. Lord, that we might become more like you, that as we live this life, it would be a life of preparation for all of eternity. Help us to be witnesses and testimonies and share the goodness and the things that we learn from your Word. We ask these things in your name. Amen. Would you stand with me today? Brother Chuck's going to lead us in 3:16. I've decided to follow Jesus. If God's spoken to your heart today, to encourage you to come. Brother Chuck leads us here, this first verse.
Decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. Though none behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back, no turning back.
Amen. Well, it's good to be in the Lord's house today. Today is a brown bag, so what that means is we'll break for lunch. We'll come back at 1:30 for early afternoon service. So I hope and pray that you'll join us for that. The teens have church cleaning this week, and we have vacation Bible school coming, cleaning schedule sign up. And then we have some prayer needs. I'm going to have Brother Beavers come and share those, and then he'll close us in prayer. Lord bless you for being here with us today. Brother Beavers.
For being here, and again, thank you that we could honor our dad. So thank you so much. Yeah, with our prayer request, and you know, one of the blind spots I have is I'll just say, Lord, be with so and so. Well, if you know the need, pray specifically, right? Make your request made known. And you know, there are several here. We're going to pray for Mrs. Stanford right here. She's been praying for a hip replacement. I'm hearing so pray specifically. We know, right? There's some preparation for the surgery and give the doctor's wisdom and a steady hand and a recovery and pain, and she's going to be a bionic woman, and pray for that Jim could be a help to her as well, and back on her feet and doing roundhouse kicks and all that. So pray for her. And Zach has been dealing with Zach Horner's been dealing with some numbness as well, so we know, we'll just pray specifically that doctors will have wisdom and that he's got the right doctor that's going to take an interest and have a knowledge of what to do. So just remember them in prayer. And Cole Roman is here. He's in technical school. And we thank you as well for the care and love that you've given to him and expressed to him. And he's grown immensely as a Christian. We pray that he'll finish strong and that the Lord will bless with the right assignment and the right location where he could be find a good church where he can grow and serve. And again, we thank you for your care for him. Again, keep this handy and pray specifically for these folks. Brother Bob, can you close us in prayer?